Together, and we'll read this portion of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter number 3. And the Bible says this in verse number 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking of them of those things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your grace and kindness. We thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, you'd speak to our hearts that which is most necessary, God, that we might be able to live for you, that the lost might be saved, and the saved might be encouraged and strengthened, Lord, indeed challenged, Lord, and changed to live for God. We'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here Peter's writing, and he says this. He said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." There is nothing more important, and let me say that again, there is nothing more important in a Christian's life than steadfastness. There's nothing more important than for you and I as Christians to remain steadfast and true to the things of God, to walk according to the things that God has shown us in His Word. You know, that's why we have Sunday school class and we have preaching from the Word of God, is so that Christians can know what God says and what God expects. But by the same token, as you know it, you and I are supposed to walk in that knowledge. We're not supposed to come back from our steadfastness to the Lord. Steadfast, it means to stay by, to stay close to stay at. That's what it means when the Bible says that we need to beware, because we can be led away with the same things, he says here, with being led with the error of the wicked and fall from steadfastness. That's what will cause you and I to cease to walk close to God, to be faithful to His house, to be faithful to His work, to be faithful to His word. That's what will cause that, is when we lose our steadfastness. And that happens as we become prey, allow ourselves to be influenced by the error of the wicked, overthrown by the error of the wicked. And this morning, I'd like just to look at three things that you and I as Christians need to beware of. Beware of. To beware means to be on alert, to take note of, to watch against, to guard against. If you go to a place where it says, "Beware of the dog," well, they put that up there because they want you to be afraid of their dog. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be afraid of anybody's dog, but that's why they put that up there for you, is to be afraid of them. And so Peter, here writing, says that we need to beware of some things. There's some things that we need to be aware and alert of, and to understand the dangers of. Okay? Now, how many of you have poisons in your house? Things that are poisonous in your house. Okay, everybody does. Where do you keep them? Do you keep them down where the kids can get them? Yeah, you take the most poison stuff and you put it right out there on the kitchen table so they might spill it in their Fruit Loops or something, right? No, you don't do that. You put it someplace safe where it's out of the reach of children and your pets and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because you don't want them to die. You look at that warning that says poison and you take it seriously. But for some reason, people, when they see the warnings in the Word of God, they take it like, well, I guess you could believe that or not. No! If God says you need to beware of something, you better beware of it. You better take it seriously. You better put that thing someplace where it's out of harm's way. Otherwise, you will fall from steadfastness to the Lord. Let's look at these things. First of all, we need to beware of false prophets. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, Jesus says that. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of false prophets. Jesus speaking about the Pharisees said, Jesus said unto them in Matthew 16, 6, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Another place he explains that, he says, "How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you according to the bread," concerning bread, "that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they that how that he bade them not to beware of leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." He said, you need to beware of false prophets. Now, yesterday, if you saw it on the news and stuff like that, the rapture was supposed to take place yesterday, according to some guy out in California. All right, now, if you were looking for the rapture yesterday, may I suggest to you that you read your Bible more carefully. Jesus said, "No man knoweth the day or the hour." The day or the hour, no one. He said, "You can tell the signs and the seasons." I see those all over the place. But the day and the hour, no one knows. Only the Father. That's why every time these guys come out and say, 89 reasons why Jesus is coming in 89. I know he's not coming in 89. He's going to come, Jesus said, at a time when they least expect it. It'll be like in the days of Noah when he was building the ark. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were running around doing all their business. They weren't thinking a thing about that ark and what it meant. And you say, how'd they know what it meant? Because Noah was preaching the whole time he was building it. He was building the ark and he was preaching and telling them that God was going to judge the earth and cover with a flood. Noah was a preacher of what God was going to do. He was a preacher of the Word of God. You think God had him build it and he didn't have anybody tell him? Yeah, it was Noah. And those people just totally ignored everything Noah said that God said. "I never seen rain. I don't believe in nothing I can't see." Baloney. Everybody believes in things they can't see. Everybody believes in things they can't prove. A person on the face of the earth doesn't. But they didn't want to believe Noah. And so they went on about their daily lives. And that's what's going to happen, folks. It'll be in a day when the world is not looking for it. When they are going about their lives thinking that everything is going to go on like it always has. That's when Jesus will come. I don't have to worry about the day or the hour. See, a saved person doesn't have to worry about the day or the hour at all. I'm ready to go all the time. I'm ready to go at any instant of time. Beware of false prophets. I got a thing in the mail. Well, I got two things in the mail yesterday that really just, there's some things that they get in the mail that just really get under my skin. One of them was, now it was had the Putnamville Hospital logo on it, you know, on the envelope, but it's from the chaplain there. And he's wanting us to take, basically, he's wanting us to take him on as a missionary. Because what the letter says is that the chaplaincy is supported by donations from churches like yours. He obviously doesn't know what our church is like, but churches like yours, and then the Putnam County Hospital matches whatever funds come in. And that we should consider him to be an outreach of our church in the hospitals. No, thank you. I've met these guys. They're ecumenicalists. All right, all of them are. I've never yet met an independent fundamental Baptist chaplain in a hospital. You know why? Because that's not the way we operate. I'm going to send them a letter telling them that they don't have to pay a chaplain. If somebody needs to talk to somebody, just to call me and I'll come free of charge. Because that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. The second thing I got, this woman wrote this book. And on the book, she's wanting us, everybody, to buy her book. And the little thing she puts on there, and she says, "In my obedience to the Lord, I have a special word of prophecy for the first 100 responders. But for the first 100 only." Okay, now excuse me. I've never seen anywhere
where God didn't want people to know what he said. And she's you know, only the first 100. So you're 101. You don't get this special word of prophecy. And by the way, it's probably something like we eat too much pizza or something like that anyway. I mean, it's going to be something so generic and so unspecific that, you know, I probably will say it this morning while I'm preaching. If she had, you know, but that kind of stuff, folks, those are false prophets. They're false prophets. People trying to tell you the day that Jesus is coming. People trying to tell you, you got to buy my book to get a special word of prophecy. Nonsense. Nonsense. Everything I need to know is right here in this book. And as I go through my life, God speaks to me through this book. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. I don't hear voices out of the ceiling. I don't hear voices in my hand. He speaks to my heart according to his word and directs me. Beware of false prophets. Just because somebody gets on the TV, I don't care how fancy those women preachers on the TV sound. Don't you listen to them. The Bible says that God would not, the Bible says we should not suffer a woman to serve authority or to teach men. How in the world can they be preachers? They can. That's the answer. They can't be pastors. A pastor is to be the husband of one wife. How is she going to do that? There's a Methodist church just down the road here. They got a woman pastor. No, they don't. They got a woman who thinks she's a pastor. Folks, false prophets. Beware of false prophets. I don't say you don't have to hate these people. I'm not saying hate these people, but understand that it is a very serious thing that they are ignoring the true sound teachings of the Word of God. It's serious. Don't be taken in by that and say, well, you know, they're not that much different. Yeah, they are. They are different. I keep getting these invitations to go to these, what do they call them? Council of Churches meetings. Well, I'm not going to go to that, not knowingly. I'm not going to go to something like that. I don't have anything in common with that. Because God has called me to preach the gospel, to build the people of this church, to teach you to go out and do the same. To your neighbors and to your friends and to the people you meet at the store or wherever you are around here. Somebody walking or riding their bike by your house, run out and give them a track or something. People stop and ask for directions, keep some tracks with you, hand them a track and say, well, why don't you come out to my church sometime when you're out this way again. Beware of false prophets, folks. Beware of them. It's something that you need to be, especially in this day. Jesus said there would be many Christ. He said there'd be many. He said, oh, Christ is over here. Christ is over there. He says, don't you listen to him. Because I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus comes to this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years, everybody on the face of the earth is going to know it at one time. You won't have to worry about hearing it. And I don't think you're going to need satellite television to find out about it. Ain't no way the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can come to rule and reign on this earth and you don't know about it. No way. No way. False prophets. 2 Timothy said this, but shun profane and vain babblings. Those are two different things. Profane babblings are those things which profane the Word of God, which defame or cause people to want to doubt what the Word of God says. He said shun profane and vain babblings. That's babblings that are nonsensical and things that arguments that are nonsensical. For they will increase into more ungodliness. I had a guy, they were talking, they said, you know, well, you know, the skeptics used to say, and he said, but I hate the skeptics. He said, they used to ask if God could make a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it. And I said, you guys are right. You know, they said, you know, and he said, another one's like, what is an infinity plus one? And I said, you guys don't understand. You're asking the wrong questions. I said, you're asking questions that have nothing to do with the character of the subject of your question. What is infinity? Infinity means it goes on and on and on. Adding plus one to it means nothing. It ignores the nature of infinity. It ignores it. It makes it sound like there's something more to it than what it is. It ignores the total nature of it. Asking if God is going to make a rock bigger than he could lift it, that ignores the nature of God, the character of God. There's not an ounce of silliness or ridiculousness in God's makeup. That would be a stupid and silly waste of time. Why would God that would never even enter into the mind of God. You're asking a question that ignores the character of the subject of the question. It's like asking if Christopher can run the mile. Well, can Christopher run the mile in a minute? Well, of course he can't. Nobody can. No human being can run the mile in a minute. It ignores the basic truth about who we are. And to think that, to waste time thinking about things that God is not going to be interested in, and God is not going to be concerned with, is just a waste, it's just a vain babbling. It's just a foolish question. Well, the need to be asking is, are they right with God? Listen, folks, he says to shun profane and vain babbling. He says, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Well, they were false prophets. They were saying, well, the resurrection's already past. And so people who were looking forward to the day that when they would be resurrected with Christ were saying, oh no, I missed it. And by the way, this guy with the 21st, by the way, he's not the first person to do this. You know, the Ephesians did that one time. Before Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians. They all heard Jesus was coming soon, and somebody got in their mind that he was coming like the next couple of days. And so they all sold their stuff and got in some white robes and went and waited on the hilltop for Jesus to come. But that's what Jesus said to do, was it? He said to go out and proclaim the gospel until I come, to be faithful, to occupy, till I come. That is to busy yourself about the things of God until he comes. He didn't tell any of us to go sit on a hill and wait for him to come, did he? No. He said, I'll come and get you when it's time. You just keep busy. Beware of false prophets. Don't listen to these people, these guys who say, well, you need to tithe, you need to sow $20,000 into our ministry, and then God will give you a free house. Hogwash. I'm just telling you. There may be people who got a bunch of money to buy their house, but I don't find that anywhere in the Word of God where I want a house, so if I give $20,000 to their ministry, God will give me a house. I don't believe that for a moment. They're false prophets. Don't listen to that nonsense. All right? The only time I ever listen to them is when I want to laugh. Okay? But I'm not trying to be a smart. Like I'm just saying, there's so much stuff on there that they will tell you that is not true. They use a little bit of truth, a little bit of the Word of God, and then they convolute it with their vain and profane babblings, and pretty soon they overthrow people's faith. And people get upset because God didn't do this. I saw a thing one time, a guy, he was all upset because God doesn't heal amputees. He had in his mind that God was supposed to restore the limbs to amputated, people who had their limbs amputated. Evidently, he must have had a loved one who lost a limb, and he prayed, God, if you're real, put their limb back on. Well, God never promised to put an amputee's limb back on. You look in the book, you show me that. Now, he did do it one time. If you recall in the garden, when Peter cut off Miletus' ear, well, he was an amputee, and Jesus picked his ear up and put it back on the side of his head. So God can heal amputees. Yes, he can. But nowhere in the Word of God did he ever promise that he would. See, people who do that, they want God to accept them on their terms instead of them coming to God on his terms. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false loyalties. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, and verse number 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of false loyalties.
putting your loyalty in some place that God does not want it. God wants you to be true to your spouse. He wants you to be true to His Word. He wants you to be true to His church. He wants you to be true to those things. But there are some false loyalties, some things the world wants us to do. Like He said, beware of seeming and spoil you through philosophy. A philosophy is a system of belief. And I don't know how many people have told me that I cannot say that somebody's beliefs are wrong. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. You can't say their beliefs are wrong. Well, wait a minute. Aren't they just then telling me my beliefs are wrong? Aren't they telling me what they're saying I can't tell them? They are. But I tell them, I'm not saying they're wrong. God is. They have a false philosophy, folks. I feel no loyalty to make room for or make space for philosophies of men that are contrary to the Word of God. I do not feel that I have any obligation whatsoever to believe that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. I'm sorry, no. That's a wrong philosophy. It's a wicked abomination in the face of God, and it's wrong. Don't bear false loyalties. You have no obligation to accept any philosophy that is contrary to the Word of God. I don't care how reasonable they make it sound. The Word of God is just as reasonable for why it's not true. It's more so because it's the Word of God. There's the Word of men. I don't know, who should I believe more? I was talking to a man, he was an elderly man, he is a Catholic. And as we were talking, he said, well, I'm going to try to convert you back to Catholicism. I said, well, why don't you just go ahead? I said, if you can, I'll let you. If you got something that can cause me to abandon the beliefs that I have, I want to hear it. I knew he couldn't. I came out of the Catholic Church. And so as we were talking about this and that, and we got talking about doctrine, we finally came to a place and I said, now the Catholic Church says this. I said, but the Bible says this. I said, so now you and I have come to a place. You and I have to either believe what the Pope said or what the Bible said, because they are opposite of each other. I said, now who do you think we should believe? And he stood there. He never thought about that before. He always thought the Pope and the Bible were synonymous. And I said, and that's why you can never convert me to being a Catholic again. Because the doctrine's not in the Bible. But the doctrine of salvation of Christ is. And I gave him the gospel one more time. But then he had to go. So I had to go. But he didn't leave without hearing the truth of the gospel. Folks, I don't hate Catholics at all. I was raised a Catholic. I don't hate them at all. The doctrine's not in the Bible. It's just that simple. I don't care what anybody says. They say one thing, the Bible says another. I feel no obligation to believe what someone says when it's contrary to the Word of God. Beware of false loyalties. In philosophy, he said. He said, in vain deceit. That means empty lies. Beware. There are people who just lie. They just do. I mean, they sound like they're spouting out facts, but in truth, they're just making it up as they go along. Beware of empty lies. There are people who just will lie to you about things because they don't want you to believe this book. They don't want you to believe this book. And they have buddies who will back them up. You know, down in Texas, they had a place where this river, where when the snow would melt, it would swell up and everything and get bigger. And the one year, they had a really big snow come down, and it came down through this thing, and it washed out the riverbed. And in the riverbed, they found all these footprints of dinosaurs.
Fossilized footprints of dinosaurs. All kinds of different ones, all heading the same direction. And you know, in one place, what they found? They found footprints of men in the footprints of the dinosaurs. Okay, now, what that means is that contrary to popular evolutionary teaching, man lived with the dinosaurs, which the Bible supports, by the way. And what they did was they said, oh man, we got these fossils. So they came down and cut them out for the museums, but they only took the ones that had dinosaur footprints in them. They didn't take anyone that had human footprints in them. The guy who owns the property, he had the FBI do plaster casts of them and everything. They found out they were real. I don't know if it was the FBI, but they, the same kind of tests they do, found out they were real footprints. They weren't made. They weren't chiseled in. And they had a guy in the, and so Nova or one of those science magazines or something like that decided they need to address this issue. So they had their guy go out there, and he stood in front of the camera. He never looked at the footprints. He just stood with his back to where they were and said, I find no evidence that there were any human fossil footprints with the dinosaur footprints. And that's what they put on the show. He never even looked at it. Why? Because he doesn't believe it exists. That's just a vain deceit. That's just a bald-faced lie. And they all put it on and aired it on TV because they all agreed together that you and I should be lied to. But you can go down there and you can find that place and you can go see them yourself. Vain deceit, empty lies. He said, after traditions of men. Tradition, that means rituals or beliefs or practices that are passed on either by cultures or generations. Okay? Just the rituals and traditions of men. Those are not things that you and I are obligated. You need to beware of those things because they will spoil you. I never will forget when I was a child, every year, I wrote letters to Santa Claus. And my brothers did too. And one year I wrote a letter. And my brothers did. They got one back. I didn't. I was so angry. Because Santa Claus didn't like me. You know what my parents told me? Well, we need to tell you something, Tim. He doesn't exist. And the reason they told me he did when I was younger was because of tradition. See, none of my children have ever believed in Santa Claus. Because he will never compare to Jesus Christ. Never. Never. My children don't expect me to lie to them. Because I don't want to follow the traditions of men. These are traditions of men. They, oh, everybody does this. Well, everybody may do it. Just because everybody does it doesn't make it right. Beware of false loyalties. Feeling an obligation to keep something just because they're traditions of men. I don't hate people. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just it always irritates me that every year, they have this big thing and all the television shows and all the news people, they're hyping up this guy who doesn't exist as though he's the most wonderful person in all the world, and yet the most wonderful person who ever walked on the face of this earth, they totally ignore him. I'm sorry, but I can't go along with that. They ignore Jesus Christ. And not only that, he said, but after the rudiments of the world. That means after the world's arrangements and principles. Doing things because, well, this is the way the world does it. Okay, and so, you don't give much in the offering because that's just not very profitable for your money. Your money would be better off, invested in a savings account. So you shouldn't give that much to the church. You shouldn't give that much to the missions. You shouldn't give that much to those things because it's just not important. You need to be worried about all these other things. Well, that's the rudiments of the world talking. You cannot outgive God, folks. You can't give so much that He won't give more back. You just can't do it. You can't outgive God.
Beware of false loyalties. And then lastly, beware of false loves. Beware of false loves. The Bible said in the book of Luke, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Covetousness, that's the love of things. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not as of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, beware of false loves. Notice that the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. Money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. When you love money, that's where the evil begins to start in your heart. Loving money. Folks, I understand we need money to do the ministries of the church. Yes, we do. But that, in order for us to have that, it means that people have to not love money and be willing to separate themselves from it. But at the same time, the love of money can get into people in churches and they get all upset about money in the church. Don't love money, folks. Don't love money. It's going to bring evil. It's the root of evil, is that love for money. There are people who think when they give in the offering plate, they think this is like buying stock in a business. The more I give, the more stock and say I should have in what goes on in the church. I'm sorry, that's a lie. When you put that money in that offering plate, it belongs to God. And not to you and not to me. It belongs to God. It's not... When it's a matter of controlling people's mind, it's because they love money. It's just that simple. Folks, God's made it very easy for us to diagnose what our problem is. Whatever it is. That's why He gave us His Word. It's all very easy. We make it hard. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, they had what they called the year of Jubilee, a year of release, where if somebody borrowed money from you, or put a piece of property up as security against some money they borrowed or something like that, at the year of release, you were supposed to forget all that. Everybody just said, forget it. You borrowed $10,000 off of me, and by year 7, you'd only paid me, $500. I'd just say, well, forget it. You're released. You don't owe it that to me anymore. That was the way it was. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he said this in Deuteronomy chapter 15, 9. He says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand. And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, that is nothing. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. He said, beware lest you get a thought in your heart. Somebody wants to borrow some money off of you. And you look at him and say, yeah, but this is the 7th year of release. Like next month it's going to start. If I loan him this money today, next month he won't owe it to me anymore. So I'm just not going to loan it to him. God said, beware of that. What's the Bible tell us to do? Give to him that asketh of thee. Well, he says, give. He didn't say loan. I don't ever loan anybody money. I give it to them. I don't loan people money. I give them money. Because God said, give to him that has need. Now, I don't give them the money people buy booze and cigarettes. But what I'm saying is that we give it to them. We don't. When people come to the church for help, we don't loan them, float them a loan from the church. We give to them. Now, we don't give it to them. We give it to the people who they loan the money to. But we give. Beware of the false loves, the love of money, the love of the world. Beware of the love of praise. Beware of the love of praise. Matthew 23, 5 through 7, Jesus said this, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greeting in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Beware of a love of praise. Don't do things to be seen of men, because if you do, guess what? You have your reward. You want to be rewarded of God? Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He said, do those things in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Don't be looking for praise. Paul said, be not many masters. Why? Because they receive the greater condemnation. Folks, I am going to be held more highly accountable for everything that happens in this place than you will ever be. Because I'm the pastor here. I'm accountable. I'm the one who has to answer. When things aren't going right, if I don't say something, I'm the one who answers for that. I'm responsible. Don't look, folks, for praise. Don't look for people to pat you on the back. Don't wait for somebody to pat you on the back and you decide you're going to serve God. Just serve God. I'd much rather have God pat me on the back than men. Beware of false loves. Beware of false loves. The Bible says that in the last days there will be scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Folks, you don't have to worry about, don't let people make you feel stupid, because they'll try to make you feel stupid for believing this book. Don't you let them do it. Don't you let them for 1 minute make you feel stupid for doing right. You're just a goody two-shoes. Well, I'd rather be a goody two-shoes than a baddie one-shoe any day. Hey, I got two shoes, I can run. You got one shoe, you're going to step on something and hurt yourself. Folks, don't ever let anybody make you feel bad for believing God. Don't ever let them back you down. Don't ever let them shut you up. You serve the living and true God. You have His Word. Read it. Know it. Memorize it. Love it. And give it out. Because that will cut them to the heart. And you might have the chance to win them to Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Beware of false love, folks. The adulation, the acceptance of this world means nothing to me. I'm not trying to be a big toe in people's eye. All right, I'm not trying to get under their skin. But I'm going to live for God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to talk to people about Him because of all He's done for me. And I don't care if anybody likes it or not. God loves it. And He loves them. How many of you, because your children don't like something, you stop doing it? I don't like it that you don't let me stay up until 1 o'clock to watch TV. Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead. How many of you do that? You don't do that, do you? Do you think God's interested in the arguments of men? No. He says, you do right. Beware of false love. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false loyalties. You know, stop giving your time to the world and none of your time to God. Beware of false loves. Having your heart set in the wrong places. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads for just a few minutes this morning.